The rainbow prayer uses red to tell of the good news of the self-loving Christ. And it says, red is for life, the root of spirit. Living and self-loving Christ, you are our root. Free us from shame and grant us the grace of healthy pride so we can follow our own inner light. With the red stripe in the rainbow, we give thanks that God created us just the way we are. It's in the self-loving Christ that we find the grace of pride as a counter to the sin of shame. And this is the Christ who commands us not only to love God, but to love our neighbor as ourselves. Not more than ourselves, but as ourselves. It's implicit in this foundational Christian commandment that we are to love ourselves. And the self-loving Christ assures us that we will not be turned away, as Jesus does in today's gospel reading, assuring us that we are completely worthy of God's love, assuring us that it is God's will that we not be lost but have eternal life, that we gain harmony and unity with the divine. The prophet Isaiah also assures us of God's welcome to all people, even those that society rejects, specifically naming the foreigner and the eunuch as marginalized people that are welcomed by God. And I love that Isaiah has specifically issued a welcome to eunuchs, who I think can be rightfully thought of as an alternative gender. And perhaps today we would put a eunuch under the trans umbrella. In Isaiah's time, eunuchs were marginalized. They were forbidden by Jewish law to enter the temple. And Isaiah implores them, however, to ignore what human society says and instead listen to God. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't assume that God will reject you or that you're somehow not good enough. But turn to God and you will not only be welcomed, but you'll be better off than the so-called chosen people who reject you. God welcomes all of God's children. The self-loving Christ embraces those that society rejects. This Christ is the Jesus who's always eating and hanging out with those looked down upon by others. And yet, despite the God who welcomes everyone, and the Christ who teaches us to love and to be proud of who we are, the theologian Elizabeth Stewart has said that the sin of LGBTQ plus people is not loving ourselves enough. Our queerness is not a sin. Our sexuality and our gender nonconformity do not separate us from God. God made us LGBTQ plus and called it good. But we're taught to feel shame because our sexualities and our gender identities don't conform to society's nice, neat, cisgender, heteronormative box. Shame is the sin which opposes the self-loving Christ. And this shame is mostly pushed upon us by religion that doesn't understand the true nature of humanity and the God of love. It's religion misused to marginalize and control people that don't fit its worldview. Anthropologist Gail Rubin says that there's a charmed circle of socially accepted sexual practices. You're supposed to be heterosexual and married and monogamous, procreative, non-commercial, in pairs, in a relationship of the same generation, in private, no pornography, bodies only, and vanilla. Anything falling outside of that charmed circle is viewed as shameful. But it is this unfounded shame that religion and society tries to put upon us, to marginalize us, to make us taboo, that drives us away from God and causes people to suffer unnecessarily. Chang views shame as the root of most of the suffering experienced by LGBTQ plus people. So many people we know personally, understandably reject the church and Christianity because of the way that we've been treated. Even Christian language, words like sin and salvation and so many other words, can trigger the shame that church and society has tried to instill in us. It's the self-loving Christ that asks us to reject this shame and instead embrace the person that God made each of us to be with healthy pride and with love. Healthy pride is the affirmation of one's intrinsic value and self-worth. Now, I'm sure we've all heard pride called a sin at some point or other, but pride is not a sin. Appreciation and love for our unique God-created selves does not drive us away from God, but draws us closer. Pride only becomes a sin if it turns into narcissism or hubris, if we only love ourselves and no one else. But if we love our neighbors as ourselves, if we appreciate the God-created wonderful weirdness of not only ourselves, but of our neighbor as well, then that self-love will heal us and will heal our world. Pride becomes not a sin, but the manifestation of God's grace, where all are accepted. It allows us to transcend our shame. Having sufficient self-love allows us to better love our neighbors. It allows us to even pray for and care about the welfare of those who try to marginalize us because it frees us from their harmful rhetoric. But we can't truly love our neighbor unless we first have a healthy love for ourselves. And to do that, we have to let go of that shame. And so you might remember that we previously spoke about shame in February, and I listed four recommendations from an article I found on how to let go of shame. And I'm just going to go through those again because I think they're very useful. And the first is due to the fact that shame can be reinforced when we act wrongfully. We do something we realize we shouldn't have, and we start believing that we are, in fact, a bad person. And so consciously work to reframe how we think about our self-judgments. Instead of thinking I'm bad, we can think, well, I did something bad. We don't need to take that as part of our identity. We all make errors and do dumb things. It doesn't make us terrible people. And second, empathize with the motivation behind our actions. Maybe I didn't mess up at work because I'm a bad person, but maybe I was feeling underappreciated or wasn't properly rested. Knowing why we do something can help us learn to do it differently. It can help us to develop empathy and forgiveness for ourselves. And three, try talking about shame with someone that we trust. Talk about it even if, or maybe especially if, it's hurtful and embarrassing. Being vulnerable in this way can actually make our relationships deeper and more intimate. And often to overcome something, we need to be able to name it. And talk to a therapist if we can't talk to a trusted friend. I think if shame is embedded too deeply in our psyche, the help of a therapist might be the best option. Now, ironically, that too can be shame-inducing for some folks. We might fear that we're going to appear weak if someone finds out that we needed help. But it's just a fear. It's not part of who we are. It doesn't define us. Needing help is not a weakness. It's being human. And I think being able to seek help is a strength. And four, examine our values. It may be our values that are out of alignment. For example, if I'm ashamed for not dressing properly, then maybe it's saying I'm too dependent on the approval of others and what they think. And likewise, if I'm ashamed over my sexuality, maybe it's not my sexuality that is a problem, but my values about human sexuality. And I think these are all great ideas, these four things, to let go, to help us let go of shame. But we can also turn to God and the self-loving Christ for help. Patrick Chang proposes that the healing of shame must begin with a spiritual experience of grace. Specifically, one must have an experience of being accepted without regard to whether we are acceptable. In my own coming out process, I saw a therapist to help me get over shame that I didn't even realize I had. And part of that process was realizing that I am inherently worthy just as I am. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me necessarily at first. How do I know I'm worthy, that I have value, that I deserve to be loved right now? That I don't have to become someone different to be loved. How do I know that if society is constantly telling me the opposite? The key for me was hearing the good news that I am worthy because God created me so. It doesn't matter what society says or even what religious leaders say. We're all worthy and deserve to be loved, are loved, because God made each of us, our amazing and unique selves, in the image of the divine. The key for me in my process, without even really knowing it, was the self-loving Christ and the good news that we should be proud of ourselves because God is proud of us. The self-loving Christ is truly the bread of life and the living water that will sate our hunger for love and our thirst for the assurance that we matter. Christ is the root of life, our foundation. And when we take pride in ourselves and love ourselves, rejecting shame, we build on that foundation and stand strong in the face of oppression. We take nourishment from that root and are able to grow. We draw closer to God in harmony with God's desires for us. We come into union with our authentic divine selves. Isaiah says the eunuch is blessed by God when they keep the Sabbath, which I think is another way to say that our blessings from God come when we live according to those divine rhythms, when we choose what pleases God, when we love neighbor and self equally. And Jesus tells us much the same thing. It's the one who trusts in Christ who finds eternal life. It's the one who puts their trust in the knowledge that the human and divine intersect, achieve union in the embodiment and in the incarnation of love. Eternal life is living in that intersection with the divine that is love. And when we begin to move into that intersection to build our understanding of ourselves on that self-loving Christ, we see the light that God has kindled within us. And with a healthy pride, we begin to not only notice that light, but we can trust and follow that light, even letting it shine in the world. We are each a unique expression of divine love, a beautiful flower grown from the root of life, the self-loving Christ. We are each accepted and loved by God just as we are. In this moment, be proud and let your light shine. Amen.